get my microphone on. Get stuff adjusted. There we go. I'm going to pin this here today because my cord is short today. All right. We are going to coach. Let me tell you guys how all this works so you guys will know what we're doing. Let me make sure my mic is correcto. Yep. First and foremost, if you are going to chat in the chat, make sure that you use all panelists and attendees so that everybody gets to see it other than just me, because I am the panelist for you guys. This is open coaching. So what that means is that you guys get to coach on anything that you want today. Just raise your hand and I'll be taking people. And if you have a question, why don't you ask it in the chat? I don't always get over to the Q&A on coaching days because I like to get through as many people as possible. So if you absolutely have a question you want answered, we always have a coach that is over in the chat. So it's a really good opportunity to ask live and get a coach so that you can do some back and forth conversation with them. Excuse me. And thank you. Everybody loves my lipstick today. it's a new this is Huda. This is a new Huda color. It's one of their lip kits where you get a matte and then you get a strobe gloss over the top. So let's see. I know the brand is Huda. I don't know the color, but if you go to the Huda website, or actually I went to Sephora and I just looked at their these little lip kits with the big lips on the front. There were three different kinds and this one had like a purple. I don't remember what the other colors in that one were, but there was definitely the saturated purple was in that one. And I also got the one that has, I think, the browns in it, if I'm not mistaken. All right, Stacy, Connor. So if you want to get coached, just raise your hand. Make sure when you come on that you are seated, not walking around and doing all the things. It makes me nauseous. All right. Yeah, and I wish that I could, like, y'all, I will never bitch about going to Sephora ever again and having to take the time to do it because I would love to go to a Sephora right now. But I had to buy, it's so weird to buy makeup blind. Just buying all the makeup. All right, Stacey, what can I help you with?
Hi, Corinne. Thank you so much for everything you do. Just want to say that I see everything you do.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
So what I'm struggling with, I'm doing the self-sabotage course. I'm around it. I'm on my second time around on it, trying to listen to all the thoughts, spending a lot of time observing my thoughts. And what I'm getting to, one that I can't get any traction on, and it's, I just want it. Yeah. It's this 2-year-old little kid that becomes this battle, and I win till about 4 or 5 o'clock at night. And then all of a sudden, the I want it wins. It's like holding onto a fire hose and trying to control this fire hose.
Why is it so much of a battle? Because it's just a sentence. I just want it. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 words. And the way you're describing it is like there's so much other stuff going on with it other than like, I just want it. I just want it. I just want it. I just want it. I mean, tell me why it is so much harder. There's other sentences is the problem.
I don't like to be directed by anybody. I'm kind of, it sounds so self-centered. It sounds so like 2-year-old toddler. I swear the inner.
So who's directing you?
Me. I don't even want to do what I tell me to do sometimes.
No, you do. Every single time you eat. When you say, I just want it and you eat, self-directed. Here I am bossing myself around one more time. What a bitch I am.
That's very fair.
I always love it when you guys act like there's some kind of like external factor or like, well, I'm just a rebel.
Fair.
It's like, yeah, well, if you really are a rebel and you really stand up for yourself, if that's like your true nature, then why would you ever say, well, when I just want it and I eat, that's me rebelling. It's like, no, that's you following orders blindly. You're like, okay. Well, you whined. I guess we're all in.
Very fair. Very fair. That's a really good point to look at. I hadn't come around to that side of it. Okay. I got that. I hear what you're telling me.
But do you see how, like, you're not even, like, but this is the problem, is you're arguing with yourself.
Exactly.
Why are you not just on your own side?
I don't know.
Well, I know why. I just wonder if you know why. It's real simple.
No, you know, it always amazes me when I hear you go on talking to people and it's so obvious when you're talking to someone else. I seriously have no idea. And I've put so much thought into this.
It's because you're not changing the conversation. Like, you're like, well, I know, I just want, it's a problem. And so every single time I argue the fuck out of myself with it and I wear myself out and then I eat, I don't understand what the problem is. The problem is the wearing of yourself out conversation that you're not changing.
Okay. I'm trying to, in a number of ways, like in doing all this, I am trying to run to my future self. I'm not trying to like walk. I'm not trying to fight that. I'm trying to run to my future self. I'm like, some of the thought changes that have happened this week are, instead of feeling restrictive on the food, I want my food choices to be luscious in the future. I want that word.
Let me ask you this though. Your future self, when she just wants it, what is she doing? Because you know, your future self is like, this is really important. And this is so good that you said this. I think a lot of you guys think your future self isn't wanting foods. And it's like, she has a beautiful relationship with food. She's not struggling. She's lost all her weight. She's just like, oh, this is so good. That's not your future self. That's called the delusion that exists in your mind. And that's what's not helping you. You need to ask yourself, girl, on those days when you just want it so bad, what are you talking about? What are you doing? Like, what is your conversation? Because I know that you're probably going to have at least 4 days a week where you just want it. What's it like for you?
I can see that. I can see how she's thinking in the future.
So what is she thinking?
She's just serene and strong and knows.
No, are you fucking kidding? This is why you're struggling. Serene and strong. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you literally smoke dope before you got on this call?
I did not.
Drink wine? Okay. Lots of it? I want you to legit imagine yourself, your future self. And somebody, what's your favorite dessert?
Cookie dough. Gotta go with cookie dough.
Okay. Your best friend comes over. Some person that she loves in her life has took a collective dump on it and she has got a bucket of cookie dough and ready to go. And you didn't plan it. Your future self in that morning is she just like, serene and calm. I don't want it.
See, and that's the struggle. That's exactly the struggle that I'm fighting. So God, you're good. What I would think in the future self, oh, okay, I'm going to go get a tiny bowl. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to enjoy that bowl. I'm going to enjoy the conversation with my friend. And just, that's the way life goes sometimes. And I'm going to enjoy it fully, but that's a realistic.
I don't think that's even what your future self does. Like you keep hanging on to the idea that your future self makes the right choices and she's doing all these perfect things. I want you to actually imagine what's going on inside of her in that moment. She wants cookie dough. It looks like a really good opportunity. Your friend is like throwing out every excuse in the book and you didn't plan it. Do you like not think her brain freaks out? Like, why is this bitch over here wanting to eat cookie dough? Like, we didn't plan this. If she had let me know this, like, you don't think your future self goes through any of that?
What just popped up is like, no, I'm all in. Bring it on. Bring the cookie dough on. So I don't know what the right response, what is a reasonable response in that situation. I don't have an idea of what that would be.
You say no, you look at her and you go like, no, I'm not having cookie dough. I would love to. And then the whole time the two of you were talking, you're listening and watching your brain freak out. You're barely hearing a word she has to say, at least for the first 10 minutes, because all you're doing is watching her eat cookie dough. That's a realistic experience. It's like when I don't plan nachos and booze and we go out to eat. And I even try to go at 4 when most people aren't going to be there, so I don't have to smell it and see it. And suddenly it's Cinco de Mayo and I didn't remember and everybody's eating it. And I'm having to have date night while all I'm thinking of is, I sure wish I could have nachos. Oh my God, those look so good. I wish everybody around me wasn't eating nachos right now.
Okay, so it just clicked. So what you're telling me is that everything you've been saying all along, it's going to be hard. Sit in it. Listen to it. It's not going to be perfect. Just suck it up and get through it because you can do tough stuff.
Yeah, but for me, the difference is the reason why it's hard for you guys, like, and I want y'all to be really conscious of this. It's hard for me in the moment just because I have desire. Like, just because I actually just want it. What you guys have a hard time with is when all of those thoughts are coming in, you're compounding. It's like, let me draw it out. I think it'll help.
Okay.
Ooh. I swear, one of these days I'm going to have an office that has hardwood in it because rolling my thing, like, I swear I'm going to pull a hamstring or something one day. All right. So you have this model here. And in this model, we have desire and the, like, you know, the I want it thoughts. And you've got your nachos and your cookie dough here. And in this model, what we're doing is where, like for me, like you're noticing the thoughts essentially, okay? So like I'm hearing everything I'm thinking about. My mouth is watering. All the things are doing it. So in this model, the result is I'm wanting it. Okay?
Yep.
So I'm just going through want. This part's not that hard. It's uncomfortable. You're watching all the thoughts and you're also making the decision not to act. So make decision to, you know, not eat, but listen. Okay? That's this model. This one in itself is what we just call the discomfort model. The one where you're hearing all the stuff that your brain is like, oh my gosh, I so wish we could have it, but we're not doing that today. I hate my best friend. She's the worst thing that ever happened to me because she brings cookie dough when I don't plan it. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we're going to eat. Like you kind of just keep going back and forth on noticing the natural thoughts that come up. Because you want to eat cookie dough, mm-hmm. and then you just keep reinforcing, but we're not having it. That's a normal thought. I understand why I'm having that thought and all that other stuff. That's why this model, it's like hard, but I call it more of like, that is what true, like uncomfortable discomfort. It's a little wearing of yourself out and all this other stuff, but it peters out in about 10 minutes. Why this one is so important and why you let your brain scroll and scroll and scroll all the thoughts is because after about 10 minutes of not responded to desire without a lot of like arguing and all that kind of stuff, your brain actually starts listening to the girlfriend. Your brain actually starts getting kind of like it runs through all the chemicals, all the hormones, the cortisol, the adrenaline, the everything that it threw at you to try to get you to eat. It's run its course. It doesn't mean it won't come back for another round at some point, but eventually what happens is you get to where you're like me, this model happens, and sometimes it lasts 5 minutes, sometimes it can last a couple of hours if I keep getting re-triggered for some reason,
mm-hmm.
but it's not that bad. Here's where your model is, though. So you're up here. Let me bring you up so you can see. All right. Here's you. And you've got this big thought bubble. And you have a model working. And in this model, it's like the circumstance is the desire itself, the wanting itself. So desire and want are the same thing. Your thought is, this fucking sucks. It's hard. I gotta suck it up. When will this shit end? All right. The feeling, awful, exhausting. All the things that you talked about earlier, it's wearing me out. It's like, it's such a battle. It feels like we're at war now. We are at war because we're arguing with the desire and this model. We're just arguing with sentences. And so, like, that's where you fall into the trap of, well, I'm such a rebel. That's why, like, when I'm trying to tell myself what to do, that's why I'm eating. It's like, that is some bullshit. You are someone talking yourself in to, like, we're just going to do whatever we think, because if we think it's all awful and hard, we might as well just eat. You're doing exactly what you're telling yourself to do. So, like, when it feels awful, the action is let my brain run wild. Argue with myself. And the result becomes, this sucks. Rather than just wanting it, which is the difference. It becomes like, here's my urge. I can either have a sucky experience, or I can just want it for a little bit until my brain learns how not to want it so much.
So get enough distance from it so I can observe the thoughts going through.
You're literally just going to listen to them, every single one of them. They're going to come in, be like, whoop, there's another sentence. No wonder I want it so bad. That sentence. There's another sentence. There's another sentence. You're just like, it's like whack-a-mole. You're just like, oh yeah, another sentence. You don't even have to change the sentences. All you have to do is you're like, nope, another sentence. Still not eating. Oh, another sentence. Still not eating. Like, it's just a matter of, like, watching the sentences. You don't need amazing new thoughts. You just need some clarity. And so, like, this model eventually is you eat. Like, it will find enough of this until you're just like, eat. And when the moment that happens, you've rewarded desire. You've said, oh my gosh, every time you have desire, do you know you get cookie dough afterward? All you got to do is hate yourself enough and argue with yourself enough, and you get cookie dough. So it's like teaching your brain how to, like, you know, it's nothing different than, like, how toddlers learn. You know, if I just, like, ask mama, like, I think it's when I say mama the 332nd time that she usually gives me the bag of chips. So it's like, mama, 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 mama.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting that this is, because I'm down 50 pounds. I've lost 50.
Good.
I've been at this spot for about 6 months. And so I've been having, there's been a lot of learning in that 6 months. So I'm really working, I'm actually doing a good job of not judging for not losing for the last 6 months. And I've gone from being strictly keto to trying to get to a more realistic, more luscious, livable lifestyle and all of that kind of stuff. But the self-sabotage came out perfectly, and I'm just, like, going through it, and I could not get traction on it. Thank you. One pointing out that I was following my own directions. That was brilliant.
I love it.
It was brilliant. And then also just sitting back and observing, and that there isn't a perfect place in the future to be. It's just going to be someone.
Yeah, like, literally, I have gotten rid of the top model. That's all that's happened. And that took a lot of practice of noticing when, like, even when you go to that model, you still can rise back out of it and just, like, oh, and here I am arguing. Oh, and here, like I promise all of you, the fastest hack for thought work, for all of you who are like, oh my God, phase two of, you know, no BS is so hard. It's all the things. It's like, no, it's really not. If you just, every time you feel uncomfortable or you feel something, if you just tell yourself, like, the sentence causing it is, and that's just another sentence. Like, I just do so much watching sentences now. I don't even do a lot of, like, the only time I really do, like, thought work in terms of redefining the story is when I find a sentence that comes back so often that I'm just noticing it, that I feel compelled to work on it. Like, I'm like, you know, this keeps coming back. I don't think I want to keep believing it or just need to even notice it. What I really want to do is examine it now. Yep. But 90% of your thoughts, you literally can just say, it's just like, I'm frustrated right now. It's because I keep thinking this.
Okay. That's awesome. The other one here that is really good. So there's three really good wins in here is there is no unicorn version of myself. There is be much kinder and watching what I'm saying.
She's patient with her conversations with herself. That's more than anything. But yeah, like I promise all of you, you have got to adopt the belief that your future self has just as many problems as you do. She's just really good at managing them. That's the only difference. Like we think like, I'm going to really figure out this desire thing and I'm not ever going to have urges again. I'm never going to want something ever again. And when, you know, the temptation strikes, I'm just going to be so above it because I've lost my weight. I am not above any urge ever. And when I'm going through things, especially like right now where there's just like, I can't even go into the depth of bullshit that's going on right now, but it's like, I got so much personal work. I always know that my urges are going to come back strong. I'm always going to want relief from food. That's just the particular way that I've always got relief. So it makes sense that my old conditioned stuff from my, you know, 12 and beyond, that would be what my brain will always want to throw up as the, like, I have such a good idea. We should just eat. It's like, what? We shouldn't just finish our project? We should go have a snack. You know, but that is always a thing. Like, you know, when I'm having personal, like I'm having some personal issues with some people right now. It's like when I'm having personal issues, I want to veg out with food. It's so much easier than thinking about a hard conversation to have with someone. You know, so it's like always remembering you're still going to have bad days, no matter how much you weigh. You're still going to run into times when people spring food on you and it wasn't on your plan. That's going to happen when you're thin and you're probably not going to love it anymore. You're just going to get good at not doing it. That is the biggest difference, but you're still going to have that moment where like, what the fuck? If you would have told me 2 hours earlier, I would have wrote that on my plan sitting on the couch.
Right? That happened to me yesterday and I won the first round or I was patient and made a good decision the first round, but it came back 2 hours later. So now and at that point I went ahead and had it. So I did reward myself. So I will step back and one, be doing the realistic plans, being kinder to myself, and watching the thoughts and, I'll be doing all the things. I'll go back and re-listen to this as well.
Yeah. Thank you. That was so good, by the way.
Thank you. It was from my side as well.
Thank you. Bye-bye. One thing I want to say that she just said that my friend Jane and I have been talking about is the concept of open loops and closed loops. I would love to like just tell you guys this super fast and then we'll get back to coaching. So when they do movies and stuff or TV shows is a good example, they leave what's called an open loop at the end of a show. And years ago, they started doing that at the end of seasons so that you would come back and want to watch it. And so an open loop is where, say you're watching, like we just wrapped the whole 24 series. You know, no matter how many episodes you watched a night, you always knew your brain would want to just be like, I wonder what happens next. You know, like they always leave like a little cliffhanger for you. Well, your brain does not like open loops. It loves a good closed loop. And so if you have an open loop, it goes to work on solving it all day long, like wanting to close the loop. So for all of you who resist making a 24-hour plan, the purpose of the 24-hour plan and making sure that it's very realistic and that you can commit to, it's like once you commit at an 8 or better, you've closed the loop on your brain. Your brain thinks there's nothing more to really have to think about. Like when you make that really realistic 24-hour plan, it's like, okay, I am an 8 or better on this one. Like, I've put the foods down. Like, I could see myself being surprised today with an invitation to eat burgers. I would still probably eat these things. Like, I feel that good about it. Your brain thinks, oh, decision's made. There's no more loops to fill. If you're not making a 24-hour plan and you're not making a realistic one and you're like, well, I really hope that I'm going to be able to stick to this one. Like, I think I can, but I really hope I can. Like, I've set it up to what I should lose weight. You've opened a loop in your brain. And what happens is the rest of the day, your brain is looking for like scenarios to test the theory if you can stick to it. So it's really important when it comes to your mind that you think about all the ways that your brain operates at its best. And the last thing you want to do is set up your brain to have to go to work on destroying your 24-hour plan all day long. You have to close the loop. That's why I tell you guys, make it realistic and make it committable. And then you need, like, the best way to challenge it is to look at your 24-hour plan and be like, all right, what is some of that normal bullshit that happens every single day or every 3 days? Like, is this Teflon proof against surprise pizza? Or, oh my God, we just want to drop a cake off at your house, or whatever it is that happens on a routine basis. Once it gets to be an 8 or better there, and you're like, okay, I feel pretty good about this one, I'm in. You close that loop, and your brain doesn't need to spend the rest of the day trying to figure out how to break it for you. Like, well, let's find all the temptations. Let's look for all the ways everyone's being an asshole eating around us, eating things that we love. It will highlight every one of them trying to close the loop of, you weren't really committed, were you? We need to close the loop on that one. We need to make sure that you know, that happens. Okay. Ashley. Hello, Ashley.
Hi.
How are you?
Can you see me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Sorry about that.
You're like Sporty Spice today. Did you just go running or something?
Sorry, I just got done working out.
There you go. I know a workout outfit.
Yeah, I'm taking some me time. So awesome. Happy Mother's Day.
You too. You too. What are we coaching on?
So I haven't done this before because I haven't ever had a specific topic I need coached on. So maybe I could just tell you about what I'm struggling with
and
go from there. So I have lost about 30 pounds and I've been at this point where I'm like, okay, I have 7 more pounds to go. And I know I'm not in maintenance, although I've been maintaining where I'm at since about September.
Okay.
And I've started listening to self-sabotage. A lot of it really rings true to me. I feel like I know, like by the book, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm making my plans. I'm assessing my plans. I'm doing the habit tracker. I know I'm going off, you know, off plans. That's why I know I'm not in maintenance, because I'm still having those off plan eats, those overeats. I feel stuck. And so today I'm coming off of, it's an emotional day. Coming off of 4 days of just eating like an asshole. And I know like my next best step, I know getting back on plan, which I am today, working out, not necessarily for weight loss, but mentally I need exercise every day. But I'm just like, I feel like I just don't know what I don't, like what my blind spot is.
That what is not the able- last 4 days? If you had to guess, why were you eating the last 4 days?
Well, so I did my discovery worksheet. I know last night, so we've had guests in our home, and like, I think a lot of it was just the added stress and buffering or feeling like numbing. Like, I don't like all these people in my home. I don't like the added mess. We're cooking more indulgent foods. And so I'd be on plan all day, and then dinner time would come and I'd just F it. I'd eat.
So what, but why did you F it at night? Like, what was it that made it so, appealing to you to just do that? Because people being in your house and making a mess and all that other stuff doesn't equal I should eat.
No.
It only equals eating because of something you're thinking, where eating is the only option to for now.
Right. So I know this isn't the answer you're looking for. I'll tell you part of it. I feel like I have been more tired by that point, just like not dealing with all my mental stuff throughout the day, where when it comes to a point at night when I normally would make better choices, mm-hmm. I'm not feeling able to make the right choice.
Well, it's probably because all day long, like, so this kind of goes back to early times when we would talk about decision fatigue and stuff like that. You know, when you have more unmanaged thoughts, mm-hmm. like unmanaged thoughts are the things that are triggering your stress. It's not the people and it's not the mess. Right. It's your thoughts about that piece. And if they're unmanaged all day long and you're not like really understanding what you're thinking about all day long, then your brain is like hyper aware of stuff all day, all day, all day. And by the end of the night, it just needs a break.
Right.
And it's like, well, you know, we've lost a lot of weight. You know, we're kind of just maintaining now anyway. We might as well just eat. We might as well just do these things. I mean, I think it's normal for that behavior to come back. I don't think you need to freak out about it. I think you need to be aware that it's coming back. And don't fall into the trap. This is the trap that the successful people tend to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to make my plan. I'm already doing all the things today. And you didn't even address how you've gotten to the point to where it's like you do know what to do. But what we need to figure out is why the last 4 days that what you know to do seemed like a terrible option.
Right. Yeah. And I think in doing my discovery worksheet, the other part of it was like when I got to the 3 steps of what I would do differently, it's like, you know, I feel like I am planning realistically to where I don't just want to go crazy when there is something that feels like more indulgent, like I said, or a treat. But I also feel like I know that I'm not going to lose weight eating that way. So my better self in the morning is like, no, I'm not planning that because that's not going to help me achieve my goals. And but it's this
but this is what I want you to like, if that's really what you want, then here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to compromise and be like, well, you know, while they're here, I need to just plan more indulgent foods because I don't want to deal with, you know, like I don't, this is the pattern you fall into. Like when I have stressful things, there's just no way that I can go after my goals because I'm going to need to like plan for my stressful eating.
Right.
That's not what I want. Like, that's not real. Like, honestly, all of you, that's not realistic. A realistic plan allows you to challenge yourself, but in a way that makes it easy to commit to. We're talking like the realistic plan is all about commitment to who you want to be and stuff, but at the same time, doing the things that you know are like, this is the life I want to live. This is the things I would like to eat and stuff. What you're doing is like, I'm creating a realistic plan because I know right now I'm stressed as fuck. So realistic for me is to sacrifice my plans or my goals and to stress eat. That's right. Not like when we think, like when we rise up and we say, okay, is that me creating the life I want?
Right.
Figuring out a way to game the system to stress eat. To me, that's no different than saying, you know, Weight Watchers gives me all these free points and free foods. So I'm going to figure out all the bullshit that I can eat so that I have plenty to eat at night when I just want to eat because I'm bored. Right. It's kind of the same. It's like, it's not who you want to be. That's why I wouldn't say, like, I want you to, like, I would much rather see you plan for your goals and hose your plan every day and figure out why you're so stressed because you're breaking plans and it's challenging you to figure it out because you know what you want, than to say, well, let me compensate for my stress by planning some stressful eating right now and just say no to my goal. Now, if you were to tell me, this is not my season, I really don't want to be losing weight right now. I just want to keep maintaining and I want to plan so that I keep integrity with myself. That would be one thing, but that is not what you told me.
No, it's not. Yeah. I feel like it's just this cycle of, you know, periods like I described this week. And then it's like, okay, now I'm going to get back on track and I'll see progress. And then I do this again. And it's, you know, for 5 months.
But haven't you seen some progress?
You know, I have seen progress. I would say it's not reflected on the scale, or it is, but then I go back up.
But this is the thing, like, and I want all of you to hear this. Very often, some of the most amazing progress you're ever going to make with weight loss is in the times you struggle the most and you figure out how to overcome your biggest challenges. Mm-hmm. Some of the most amazing weight loss moments of my journey were the weeks that I didn't lose weight. And when I say weeks, I mean the 6 weeks in a row where I wasn't losing weight, because the progress that I made during those weeks in continuing to plan, continuing to dream, continuing to push myself, not giving up, reworking how I was thinking about myself, figuring out the next thing to do, trying to understand the overeats that I was doing, was probably the most important progress I ever made during weight loss, because eventually weight would come off on the scale. But I, like, Ashley, you got to do the same thing. You have to recognize those pieces. You can't just make it be about, well, but this week the scale didn't move, and this week the scale didn't move. It's like, let's go back and look at, where is progress being made and where am I hampering other progress and how?
Yeah.
And I think part of it is this, like, whatever thoughts you're having about these people being in your house. I mean, that's at the root of all this. So what is your thoughts about these people being at your house and this mess? Because that's just a circumstance in your life.
Right. Right. Well, and I'd say that's, this has been a, very unique week where there's just been a lot of different circumstances. So that was one. And I would say I just feel out of control because I like my house to be orderly and clean. And I don't know, I just like my house.
So when is, let me ask you this. So I'm going to put every single thing, like you said, there's lots of circumstances. We're going to put them all in one and run all the things this week.
Yep.
And your thought is, well, I like order and control.
Yeah.
Probably the worst thought ever that you could be applying this week over and over again. Do you see how argumentative it is to the truth of what's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you saw my kitchen right now, since you like order and control, you flip a wig. We have a studio set up in my kitchen.
Yeah.
That we, because it takes so fucking long to set it up, I finally looked at Chris and I said, just leave it up because I don't want to watch you for 3 days build this thing one more time so I can film these videos. But every time I walk by, guess what I have to do? Mm-hmm. Manage my mind around things not being orderly and pretty and in their place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
But you're not doing that. You're not walking by all of it and managing your mind. You're walking by all of it thinking, I like order and control, and this is anything but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I'm sure that I've tried to apply that to all of these other things that have been going on in this, you know, perfect storm of things that cause me stress, is like, how come I can't control this? Why don't I know the right answer? You know, and
I think it's because you just gave yourself away when you said the perfect storm of things that cause me stress.
Yeah.
Is that true?
No, my thoughts about them make me feel stressed.
Yeah, I think I promise you, you will see you adhering to your plan so much better if you will spend a week every time you're stressed saying, in what sentence am I thinking right now about my situation? What sentence is causing me stress right now? You, like, I don't think you need anything more magic than to take ownership for your stress and to get out of it being something external. When the outside things are causing us stress, the answer will always be to eat something outside of us. It just, that's what happens for all of us who have weight as our thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Looking for that comfort.
Yeah. Because because your brain is really intelligent. I know sometimes we all don't feel real smart because of the stuff we're doing, but your brain is really smart. And if you keep telling yourself over and over again, it and they are to blame for how I feel, then your brain knows, like, well, there's no solution for this until it and they get their shit together. Right. And so since we don't have any certainty for them, we don't know what's going to happen with them. We have to create our own certainty. I'm very certain cookie dough will solve this. It has in the past. Because your brain wants certainty. And it knows that trying to control other people is a very uncertain thing to do. So it has to go on the hunt. But when you give it certainty, like, I know why I'm stressed right now. I keep thinking that bitch should put her dishes away in my house. I know that's why I'm so stressed right now, because I keep expecting someone who's a slob to show up in my house and morph into a new human. I totally understand why I'm so stressed right now. Then your brain is very certain as to what the real problem is. Mm-hmm. The brain no longer thinks that that person is the problem. So I need a certain solution, which is usually food. Now it's like, well, I know the solution. You're going to have to put up with it or change how you think, because that's the only two options. If the problem is you.
Right. So earlier this week, there was a situation where I did recognize, the first time I would say it, not filtered, I would say, I am pissed at them because they didn't apologize for this. And it's like, no, I understand like what this is. Like, I totally get it. It's not their fault. It's my thoughts about the way that they should have acted, which I can't control. So at that point, once I have that recognition, what's the best next step? Is it to go journal about it and try and figure more out about it?
I would, like in that situation.
Yeah. Cause I
would for sure
that progress to where I am recognizing more and more, oh, it's not external. That's the way it'll come out unfiltered, but actually I know it's just the way I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. The next thing you do is you write about the way you're thinking and you challenge it. Mm-hmm. Is this the only way to think about it? Like, I think that's an easy thought hack for a lot of you when you're doing thought downloads. It's just to say, like, is this the only way to think about this? Mm-hmm. Would everyone think, like, if somebody was not me, how would they think about it? Like, if they were going to not think they're wrong, what would they be thinking like? So much of your brain is like, just needs to be opened up to new perspectives. And then it sort of like goes, what? It unlocks itself from how you're just believing and how you're locked in. So giving it just an opportunity to see other things, very often you get some relief from your own locked in thinking that it could be this way, that when you feel that relief a little bit, you're like, well, you know, I might not want to believe that, but I could at least start thinking this.
Right.
That's like such an easy way. Cause I think a lot of you sometimes want to be right about your indignation about how somebody should be behaving and stuff. And you get like, you want to be right so bad that you forget that you're angering yourself.
Right.
You know, and it's like, sometimes if you just do some work on, What else could somebody else's opinion be here? If I was going to look at it from a different perspective, if I was going to get into their brain for a minute and just see what their motives are, like, why wouldn't they apologize? Is there any reason, like, maybe it's shameful. A lot of, you know, I could at least go to, I know why they didn't apologize. It sucks. I don't like when I have to do it. I can't imagine that they're just like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. Today's the day I go on an apology tour. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes just doing some of that, you get relief from your own thinking to where you're just like, fuck, like, let's just think something else. It's worth feeling better for right. me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm going to go do some journaling.
All right. I just think journaling's, I know a lot of y'all don't like it, but I journal every day. I journaled this morning. I journal a lot. It's been the best gift I've ever given myself.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't know why I'm so like, waha today. Let's do Corinna, just because we have the same name. Almost the same name. And she has a pretty heart next to her name. I feel like I have something in my throat. It's like allergy season big time here. Logan and I's eyes have been just on fire the last few days. All right. So what are we coaching on?
So I think I'm trying to do too many things, all the things.
Okay.
I'm currently getting ready to start my MBA program. And I'm a mom, I'm a physician, I'm a coach, and I'm trying to get to my goal weight. And I have accountability groups. I have all the help, and it's like, and I've talked to you about this before, so I've always felt like this is the one part of my life that I just can't get a hold of. And so I've been working on...
You gave me a lot of parts. But,
I guess saying no, maybe. But yes to myself in the realm of weight loss.
Okay, so why are you eating? Because you know you can do all of that and lose weight. Because losing weight actually takes less time than gaining weight.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that?
That losing weight takes less time than gaining weight?
Yeah.
Well, I would love to learn that and,
okay.
You know,
so if you're going to eat less, guess what else you're going to be doing? More of that other shit.
Gotcha.
Because when you're eating, are you MBAing?
No.
Are you like, see it, like, are you a doc that sees patients?
I am.
Do you walk in with like a chicken leg and fries? Like, here I am. Who needs help? I just can't lose weight and see you right now. So I need to eat and keep it up, you know?
Right. Gotcha. No, I'm not a doc who does that, but that'd be interesting. Awesome.
The reason why I bring it up is because like when somebody comes to me with like their list of all the things, I'm trying to do too much. There's usually this idea behind all of it that, you know, I don't have enough time to do all this.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true for you or no?
Well, you know, in listening to some of your coaching, I mean, I know that everyone gets the same amount of time and, you know, if you're planning and time blocking, which, you know, I do with the plans when I'm, you know, able to, that really helps, you know, if I have dedicated time to do things, but, I still feel like I don't have enough time to do all the things that I've committed to.
Okay. Well, there's the difference between the things you've committed to and weight loss.
Yeah. Okay.
Like here's all the things I've committed to and you can decide which ones you want to keep or whatever. But mm-hmm. like let's say that you're going to keep all of them. Let's pretend we're going to keep all of them, like every single thing. You're going to bring it over to the weight loss side and say like, oh, and guess what? We get to do all this without eating through it. That's the only difference. That's the only decision you have to make when it comes to your weight loss. It's like, you know, I'm going to do the MBA and I'm going to be a doctor. I'm not giving my kids away. I think I'm just going to keep them. They can't really come off the list. Like I always love when we have our to-do list, like, and I'm a mother, you know, I got kids. Do you know our brain wants to be like, let me give you my shit pile of things to do. And we always throw our kids and our spouses in the pile.
Yes.
They're not part of that. They're just life. They're just called like our committeds. We're kind of committed to the children. We're committed to the spouses. But all the other stuff's optional.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And now when you make your decision to whatever you're going to do, the agreement is I'm not eating over it. So I'm going to have to figure out a way to do my MBA without snacking in pizza. Mm-hmm. Like, what's that going to look like? That probably means I'm going to be spending a lot of time worrying if I'm good enough to get it done. I'm probably going to spend a lot of time getting way better at my time management rather than eating and worrying about not having enough time. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the version of me I've got to craft now, because losing weight doesn't take any more time. It takes away me having to manage my mind. It takes away me having to challenge myself to think better for myself, to believe in myself. It challenged, like, you know, in like, you know, most people who are going after big things also have a lot of fear and doubt. That's part of the job. When you're going to be a doctor and you're going to go after your MBA and you're going to be a mom and you're going to, like, all these things, and you're going to lose weight, you're signing up for a very scared, doubtful, like, worried version of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't eat through it now. That's the decision you make to lose weight at the same time. And then you work through the fears, and then you work through the doubts, and you do a lot of things that, like, you sit there and you notice in that moment when you're wanting to eat and you've got homework and your kids need you, you examine, what am I thinking right now that's got me so overwhelmed, instead of, I should go get a snack because I'm so overwhelmed. I just need to get away from this. Because you can get relief from your thoughts one of two ways. You can eat through it, or you can change it.
That's where I feel like, you know, doing the models and also just making a plan every day is really helpful. I mean, you coached me back in, I think it was at the end of December, and then I lost like 12 pounds. I was doing really well. I don't know what ended up, I don't know. I mean, I can blame it on COVID. But
COVID virus doesn't make us gain weight. Like, a lot of the people that I have heard that actually had the virus lost weight, but all of us who don't have it gain weight for some reason.
I've been talking with our, you know, accountability groups, and my new motto is just make a damn plan.
So why don't you want to make a plan is the real question.
Why don't I?
Yeah. Like, what are the thoughts that come up about this plan?
Like, it feels, I mean, and it's not in an offensive way, but it just feels so elementary. Like, you know, why do I have to make a plan? I can
that's
do
why
this
you ha-
put
you
it in my head.
Go ahead. You have, because
I can
what?
Put it in my head.
But
I don't know.
But this is where you have to go, like, let me ask you, how many of those plans did you make in your head through the COVID virus and gain weight or not lose weight?
I don't even know. Like, there's no data, right? And I'm
no, there's data. Like, did you gain weight or did you not lose weight?
Oh, yeah, I gained 5 pounds, yes.
Okay, so when your brain says, I don't know why I have to do this, this is so simple, I should just be able to do it this way, you're just like, oh no, that's so wrong. This is how, like, I like to always tell myself, this is how dumb you really are. You're trying to convince yourself of something you absolutely have empirical data that says isn't working.
Yeah.
Like, if you've gained 5 pounds not making plans, it's like, oh, I'm wrong.
Yeah.
When I think that is like, shit, I'm just wrong.
Yes.
Like, I tell myself I'm wrong. Like, I have a lot of judgment about, like, how Chris should work and stuff like that. And I always tell myself, I am so wrong about that. Like, I am no programmer. Like, the way he sets things up and stuff irritates the shit out of me. And it's because I think, like, there's a faster way to do it. And I'm always remind myself, oh, I'm wrong about that. I'm not a programmer. I have no fucking clue how long it should take. I just...
Exactly.
And I just talk, I mean, sometimes I just talk to myself that way, and it helps. So that when I have these thoughts that make it harder than it has to be. So your thought that I should be able to do it on my own, it's very elementary, that kind of stuff. That's the one you need. But, and that's the thoughts that I think that make planning harder on myself. Because what I do know is that the last time I tried to not plan, I just gained 5 pounds. That kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And probably if I had to guess, you're like most of us. Like when I weighed 250, guess what I didn't have a lot of? Food plans. Mm-hmm. I spent a lifetime not making food plans and stopping at McDonald's because it sounded good. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I had no plan for a bad day. My plan for a bad day was McDonald's. I think that's one of the things you guys have to really also realize is your brain has a food plan in it. Like in the unconscious part of your brain, if you don't have one written down, it has the one that feels really good and tasty and works on a bad day. It's got like, here's the food plan for the day NBA homework sucks. And here's your food plan for the day that you're terrified of the COVID virus. And here's your plan for the day that you think your kids should just go live with their grandma for a month. Like whatever you like or is going on in your life, your brain has food. It has its in the brain food plans. They just always involve Cheetos, Dr. Pepper, McDonald's, pizza, and cookie dough.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want those food plans. We're going to have to decide which ones we actually going to have.
So true. And I mean, I know that if I make a plan that I usually stick to it if I make the plan and then I get results and it's data and I think like that, you know, if I have the data, I know I can do it. But I think also getting there, you know, with my thoughts of, you know, I have the thought that someday I can make my future self goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to, I'm starting to believe that, but I have my doubts still. And
that's okay.
I need to work on that.
I would just like for all of you, when it comes to your future self, I would just tell myself when the doubts come up, it's normal to doubt it, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop working on believing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like for some of my future goals, yeah. I have an incredible amount of doubt that comes up, but I don't stop dreaming about it. I don't stop visualizing it. I don't stop like continuing to pursue it. I don't mm-hmm. let the doubt be a problem. I let it come up and I tell myself how normal it is. Like I have a lot of, like I do a lot of envisioning Logan's future self and like trying to, you know, he tells me all the things that he wants to do with his life and all this other stuff. And I've been really working on believing in his future as hard as he believes in his future because there's no downside to doing it. Now mm-hmm. what happens though is all of my doubts around his future and everything come up to the surface continually, you know, like, I don't know about that one. And I just remind myself, it's so normal to doubt things because it's like, I can believe it and everything, but doubt usually comes along for the ride until it actually happens.
Yeah. And then a lot of times that worst case scenario never does happen. And that's
right.
Kind of what I've learned, you know, through just doing thought work and, you know, being a professional worrywart. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
Listen to our podcast on worry, Worry 2.0?
Oh, no, I didn't.
You should listen to Worry 2.0. Okay. We talk about in that one a little bit about worrywart syndrome, but we talk about a concept of like how to break your worries down into mm-hmm. like what's actually like, how much of your worry do you have some control over? And then mm-hmm. putting your focus on that, like not to just worry about it, but to really hone in on taking control of the things you can control over and then realizing like, these are the external things that I actually can't control. So mm-hmm. it just gives your brain a way to kind of segment things out and make your thinking a little bit more productive. So you might want to check that one out. It's a good one.
Awesome.
I think it came out. In fact, I think it came out this Friday. This last Friday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome. Awesome. I was going to tell you, you were doing a live the other day and you were talking about how Logan gives advice and you should have a little thing that says the lowdown with Logan.
Yes. I want to tell you, he has some of the most insightful things. He, I don't know. He just is always, his My mom, actually, I called her this morning for Mother's Day, and she was just talking about how she was talking to him the other day and how she said, "Baby, he's so smart. He's so insightful." I was just sitting there listening to him going, "Yeah, maybe I should think that." Life coach Logan, getting after Mamie.
Well, he has an awesome mother, and happy Mother's Day.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I will tell y'all, Mamie takes coaching from Logan way better than she takes it from Corinne. Jen Grimes. What do you do with all your journals? Do you keep them all? I don't. I used to keep a lot of them. I've kept a few of my earlier journals that are important to me. But what I mainly do is throw them out. Once I get done, nowadays, when I get done with a 60-day planner, I go through and I look at it one last time. I note a few things I've learned or things that I might, sometimes like in my planners, I write down good ideas that I want to do or something like that. I might transpose those someplace, but I usually just throw them out now. If I kept all my journals, y'all, we'd have to get a storage unit. All right, Jen.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm in my garage, so it might be a little echoey. I'm
trying to You're fine.
I'm laughing because what you were just saying about like things not coming true or not trusting things until they come true just kind of plays into my issue. Anyway, I have questions on relationship.
Okay.
Things.
You know, I have a whole relationships call tomorrow too. Yeah. So if I don't answer at all, you can come back tomorrow night and Kathy's going to get down on relationships.
Okay. I guess my biggest question is, sometimes I feel like I am trying to thought work myself into being in the relationship that I'm in right now. I'm in a long distance relationship. So, just a little bit of background. We were together for about 2 years in my hometown. And then he was promoted. I live in Cleveland and he moved to Atlanta and then he was promoted again and he just moved to LA. And it was a very rocky relationship too. There was like some cheating and things like that on his end. And we went through counseling and all that. And I feel like I spent a lot of time trying to, like a lot of the counseling we did was very similar to like the model that you did where it's very much like looking at your thoughts and trying to figure out like, you know, it wasn't about me and blah, 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 all that kind of good stuff. And so I feel like I'm in a good place there. But I also feel like a lot of that was trying to get me to accept myself, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm there. I've been there for a while. And now I feel like I keep questioning about like this relationship, if the long distance thing is really something that I want. Like I've done pages and pages of models of like thoughts I have about the long distance relationship. And some of them I can see right and pick off right off the bat or like, these are bullshit and I can change these and I can work on these. And some of them are like logistical things that, and.
Well, do you want it or not? I mean, like if you, like one of my favorite questions when it comes to relationships is if you had it all to do over again, would you like knowing everything that you know that you guys have been through and that you're in this relationship now, would you start it again?
See, that's, I was actually asking myself that because I know that came up in like the relationship course. Mm-hmm. And like, for me, my answer would be like, I'm glad I was in the relationship because I learned so much about myself in the relationship.
Yeah. But I'm not saying do it all over from the beginning. I'm saying like if you knew this is the man, like you're like, you were able to look at your past and your current stuff. And then we're like, all right, it's a clean slate. Would you do it again? Would you say yes or no? Like you get to keep all your lessons and everything.
I guess I waffle because we have this like plan of being together, but it won't be for like 7 or 8 years down the road.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I was talking to my accountability group about it and I was like, I think it could be, yeah. But I also don't know if I feel like I'm like pinning myself on a fantasy of the future rather than being in the reality of right now, if that makes sense. Like,
well, what is
I feel like
I'm wrong with right now? Like, let's just figure out what's wrong with right now.
Only being able to see each other maybe once a month sucks. We're both like physical touch people. Like that's our language of love, right? We both have very high sex drives too. And like, we were like rabbits when we were together. And now it's like, my sex drive is like gone now. And I don't like that. there's the cost involved of the travel. That's one of my should things where it's like, I feel like I should be spending this money on my retirement and saving it for the kids' education instead of long distance booty calls. Right.
Okay.
And
so
then there's,
it's expensive.
Yeah.
You can't touch him, but once a month. It doesn't sound like physical touch is a big problem because your sex drive's gone. So,
but I don't
seems like having a long distance relationship might work out better for you on that one.
I'm trying to improve that though because I don't.
I know, but I just want you to like when we're actually thinking about like I want you to get real clear though.
Yeah.
Like that's not a problem. Lack of sex drive is not a problem at all when you're in a long distance relationship.
That's true, but outside of like, that's a high priority in a relationship for me. It's like one of the top three in priority is like having a good sex life.
Wait, so, in all of them? Is that what you just said?
Yeah, like if you go like.
Okay, that's a thought. Just make sure you put that on your thought line.
Right.
That's probably what's hosing you and why you're putting a lot of emphasis on this sex life thing. There are lots of people who are married who are very disinterested in sex and love the shit out of each other.
Yeah, but I was married for 14 years in a sexless marriage.
Right, but I want you to think about that this is a thought you're having. I'm not arguing the truth, but you're arguing with me that this is a fact, not a thought that I'm having.
Right.
Well, and when I guess I'm trying to help you disseminate, do you want to be in this relationship or not? Like, we're just trying to figure out if you know you're only going to see him once a month, what are the problems of only seeing him once a month? Having like me needing to do it like rabbits is not a problem for this particular thing we're trying to solve. If you guys were living together or in the same city and constantly he wanted sex and you weren't in, then I could say like, yeah, we need to address this. But when we're talking about a long distance relationship, you see him once a month. I just want to get to the problems of now. The problem we're having right now is it's expensive. You have a thought that you should be spending that money someplace else. You would like to, want to be able to hug him. Mm-hmm. And you can't. That's a problem. So what else is a problem?
I feel the traveling takes time away from my kids is another one.
Spending time away from my children.
Okay. Right now, it wasn't as bad when he was in Atlanta, being able to communicate because we're in the same time zone. Now we're in different time zones. Like
okay. Time zone is another problem.
It's very challenging to manage that one.
Okay.
And then I'm afraid he's going to cheat on me again because last time, like it'd be immediately the last time he.
And so being with this person triggers me to think he's going to cheat on me.
Yeah.
Like it's not that he is.
Right.
But like I want you to list, like literally you have to get, like all of us have to do this, but we have to get better at listing the actual problems so that your brain can now take a look at it. It can rise up and actually look at it. And then you can like, you're kind of doing this now and I'm really glad that you are doing it. But when you list out the current problems of now to decide about your future, you want to know what you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So like fear he'll cheat on me. You have to decide, am I willing to do my thought work on that stuff, like I know I can get past fear.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to get past fear? Do I want to be with someone who's cheated on me? Maybe I do, maybe I don't, but you need to ask those questions. Like if I'm thinking about, is this relationship worth it? And am I just trying to thought work myself out of it or into it? You could thought work yourself out of it too. We just want to do our thought work for your sake. And it's like asking the question of like, okay, I'm with someone that I fear will cheat on me. Do I want to be in a relationship with someone where I need to do work on that? That's just a yes or no. Is he worth doing that work on? Some people will say like, no, it's just not. Like I was with someone. It wasn't. It's like, no, it's a no. If Chris cheated on me, it would be a yes. I would like for sure work on it. But I wouldn't be confusing it. You know what I mean? I would just be like, he's either worth doing the work or he's not. And you have to decide and I think asking it like, is that where I want to spend my time? And if the answer is yes, then you just spend your time doing that.
Yeah. I think where I mostly need, because I feel like I have made a decision that he's worth it. And I have been working on that for a long time now. I think my biggest problem is the time frame that we're going to be apart, because
the 7 years.
Yeah. It's like, we can't, you know, I'm not moving to be with him, because his job's going to take him moving around and around and around.
Okay. Well, let's just pretend it's actually going to be 7 years. Like, are you willing to wait?
I don't know. That's where I feel like I waffle back and forth. Like,
just tell me right now.
Yeah.
Why are you willing to wait?
Because I think it could be very, very good when we can be together. We get along, and I think we're very compatible, and we get along in a lot of ways.
Okay.
I think we're very good at communicating and things like that, which is good. I think there's a lot of qualities in him that I would have trouble finding in someone else. I think that's part of my other thing, is like that scarcity. If I let him go, I might not find anybody else.
Do you love him? Because this whole conversation that we've been talking about your future with this person, you've not one time said, I actually love him. You've given me all the reasons why you're afraid to lose him. You've given me all the reasons why he's not worth sticking around for. But not once have you said, like, I really love him and I need to figure this out or whatever.
I do. I do. I think sometimes
100%.
I feel, well, I struggled with that a lot last fall because of some of the shit that went down. And there was
But that's not why you struggled with the love.
Right.
But like, let's be real clear. Love is a feeling.
Right.
If Chris cheated on me, I would not love him less. I would be very disappointed. I would be extremely upset. I would be so angry. I would be a lot of feelings. And I would probably have all those feelings because I love him so fucking much. I could still tell you the 1,000 reasons why I love him. And that would be why it would hurt so bad. And why it would be worth doing work over. So, like, I want you to be really clear that his cheating on you, like, his cheating and what happened didn't make you love him less. Your thoughts about him changed. So, and that's where, like, in order for you to figure out what's best for you moving forward, you have to take responsibility for your feelings. That his actions don't cause you feelings. His actions trigger your thinking, and you need to understand all your thinking around that for your own sake. Because if his cheating is what makes you love him less, then you need his cheating to go away in order for you to love him more. If your thoughts about his cheating is what made you love him less and you want to be with him, the only thing that has to change is your thinking about his cheating.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, because I feel like it wasn't so much that I loved him less as that I pulled back and kind of disconnected because it hurt too much, right, at the time.
Well, it did, again, it didn't hurt too much.
Right. Oh, my thoughts about what happened.
Your unrecognized thoughts is what pulled you back. Because pulling back was the action line. Driven by your thinking about what happened. And a lot of times what we do is we pull back when we're not taking, when our thought line is his fault.
That's interesting, because I think a lot of times I think of him moving away as his fault too. So it's kind of interesting.
I think I think you've just got a lot of work to do before you decide on this. You're with someone that you need to start putting his actions in your C line. And really understanding your thinking, like, is it his fault, or is that, like, that's one thought that I have about this. It's also his choice. And do you want to be with someone who makes that choice? And the answer may be, yeah, he's worth it. Like, I would wait 7 years. It's totally worth it. If he wants to put, like, you know, like, if he needs this job and he's putting this job first or whatever's going on there, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, really understanding it. And you don't make it mean anything other than he's worth it and I'm willing to wait. Your answer becomes really clear. But if it's his fault, he doesn't want to be with me, I can't trust him when he's out, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you got to clean all that up so that you can decide in your new model, do you want it to be he's worth the wait, or, man, he's got a lot of shit I have to work through. I don't know that I want to be with someone that requires so much thought work. At some point, we have relationships in our lives where we, like, the easiest thing for us is like, you know, I love him, but he sets his life up in a way that I have to continually do thought work. And I don't know that that's the kind of relationship I want. I'd like to have one where it doesn't require as much thought work sometimes. And that's a choice too.
Right.
More work. I can't give you an answer.
Okay.
But I can tell you for sure, more ownership in this relationship. Several times you had tells that you're still pinning on him your feelings. I feel this way because of him. Like, I'm acting this way because of him. Like, I want you to take him and list out all the things that he does and whatnot, and I want you to move them to your C line. And I want you to figure out what you think about them currently right now.
I've actually done, like, pages and pages of models of that. I guess maybe I need to, like, what's the next step from there? Because I have all, like, the unintentional thoughts down. Like, here's all the shit that I know that I'm, like.
Yeah, but you don't have all of them. Because I've pulled out three good ones for you where you blamed him. Like, you, like, still thinking that your love is less than because of what he did. That's a significant sign that you still have blame going on for how you feel. The next step, though, like, if you want what that next step is truly going to be, it's going to be asking yourself, what am I so afraid of by making a decision? Like, what am I, like, what's my biggest fear for staying? What's my biggest fear for leaving? Probably that's why you're staying in indecision. Most of the time, indecision, confusion, and doubt is driven from fears. The fear of, if I decide to, like, end it, what am I so afraid? What all is going to happen? Like, does this mean it's going to be hard to get another boyfriend? Does it mean all these things and blah, 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 blah? If I decide to stay, what's my biggest fear? I'm with someone who might cheat on me. Like, you've said that a couple times. Like you've probably got other, like, if I stay, that it's going to be a slow grind for 7 years, whatever that is. Figuring out what is your biggest fears around it is probably where your next step is. But I wouldn't go to that until clean up a little bit of your thinking of, like, where am I still blaming him for how I feel? Just do that one. Like, where am I still blaming him for how I feel about things? Like, you know, his being this job makes it so hard to decide. No. That's blaming that.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that'll help. Biggest fears. Yeah, that's always fun work.
Right.
Get some Kleenex and a big bottle of water. Do it like at 7 a.m.
Oh, good Lord. All right. Yes, that's a good idea. Thank
All
you.
Right. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Let's see. Can you talk about your definition of integrity? When you say someone is out of integrity with themselves, what do you mean? When someone's out of integrity with themselves, it just simply means you're showing up in a way that when you think about who you want to be, like who you truly want to be in life, like when you think about I want to be someone who keeps promises to myself. And it really means a lot to me to finally figure out how to get my health in order and stuff like that. But then you're eating, you know, ding dongs because they're on sale or whatever. That's being out of integrity with yourself. For some of us, it would be like with relationships. If you are typically, think about the people that are in your life and you're super compassionate and you are very understanding of them and you're always trying to see the best in other people. But when it comes to yourself, you're tearing yourself up. You have very little patience for your own mistakes and things like that. That's being out of integrity also with yourself. It means like, what? And one way to do this is to ask yourself, like, when I am the best version of me around other people, like, these are the qualities of which I exude and which I do. And then think, how often am I being that version of me with myself? That's kind of being out of integrity with yourself. I've been working on my thoughts about constraint. I know in so many areas of my life that constraint is an act of love. I don't spend all of my money on frivolous things. I don't stay up all night watching Netflix. What advice would you give to help me begin to change my relationship with the idea of constraint when it comes to my weight loss so that I can see that as an act of love? I would just like list the things that you're going to constrain yourself on. So if you are, let's say, like with me, there are just certain foods we just don't keep in the house. I constrain myself to mainly my healthy foods, like the things that I know make me poop good, give me energy. Like this week, like, is salmon my favorite food? It's a hell no. But let me just tell you, I like salmon, but I'm going to eat it on repeat probably for the next 14 days for one reason. I have a virtual workshop coming up and I want my face to look good. And when I'm eating salmon every day, my face fucking glows and so does my skin. So like, I'm going to constrain myself off of, like, we're not going to be drinking wine the next 14 days. I'm not going to be sitting around eating foods that kind of break me out and all that kind of stuff. And I do that from love. It's not because like, oh, because you look like shit. It's like, no, you know why? I'm going to like really like level up because I want to look good. That's an act of love. I'm willing to eat salmon for the next 14 days so that my joints feel good. I can stand all day long, teach like a bitch, and look pretty doing it. Like, I just think about those things. So whenever, like, I am making decisions, like, to, like, we don't keep a lot of wine in the house typically. Like, we just don't keep things that are going to tempt me and, like, make it to where I have to, like, you know, sit through the urges and stuff like that. It's like, I can. But I would much rather constrain my environment and set it up in a way that I don't have to do that shit. I like to just make stuff as easy as possible. I want to make sure that being at my goal weight and feeling good is the easiest choice to make. And then all I have to deal with is like when the boys want to order hamburgers, which is 3 times a week, or they want to keep, you know, whatever, like chips, and they want to keep their shit in the house. Like, I just think about like how, like, I think of constraint is making it easier on me to make good choices for me, to make my life easier. Like, that's how I do it from love. My thought is, if I don't follow my 24-hour plan, I'm a failure. How can I change my thought about that? You don't change your thought. So you're going to use the thought, I'm a failure, to trigger a new way of thinking. Because you're probably always going to knee-jerk thinking that you're a failure. So you just need to like spend some time writing down all the reasons why you're not a failure because you don't follow your plan. Because it teaches me lessons. It allows me to do discovery worksheets. It means that I'm figuring out the next thing in my weight loss. Like, you have to like write about that. And then you have to prepare yourself like, all right, these are the things that when I think I'm a failure, I need to remind myself to also think. So now you just use that old, like, because right now what you're doing is you're allowing the thought I'm a failure to trigger feeling like shit and probably doing a shitty thing to yourself, which could be spirally thoughts, more overeating. It can happen in a million ways. Now what I want you to do is have a very controlled model where it's like, and when I think this thought, I want it to trigger this line of thinking so that I can recondition and reprogram myself until that new thinking either just takes hold as the first thing I think and only sometimes I think I'm a failure, or I just live with both thoughts for the rest of my life, but the only thing that matters is the second part of the sentence is the one that I act on. Either way, you win. How do I handle when other people have high expectations of me? You let them suffer when you don't meet them. That's how I handle it. Tons of people. I had somebody literally write me in today. God love her. She's like, you know, you give so much free help. And like, I've even lost some weight. But here's what I'm going to need. I would like for you to write me out a plan for these things. She has very high expectations of me. You know what she gets to be? Super disappointed. Because that's not happening. She's like, I just love all your free stuff and I'm not going to join. So since you do free stuff, here's what I would like for me. It's just a no. Like, I don't have to sit there going like, I'm going to disappoint her. Like, oh my God, I just wish people wouldn't ask me for stuff. I'm just like, how am I ever going to live my life with everybody needing me to be perfect? Like, it's a no. When other people have high expectations of me, I let them have them. You know what I do? I figure out what my expectations of me are and I go after them. And I live in that world. And they're sometimes will probably be very pleased and delighted. And a lot of times they'll be very disappointed and upset and all the things. And they'll tell me all the things. Meanwhile, I am very pleased and delighted with myself and feeling sorry for them. I'm like, man, that's got to suck. I know. I can't even imagine how upset you are that I let you down. That's probably feels really bad. I think I told somebody that. I think it was Logan. God love him. He always lets me know when I let him down or when like when something goes awry. And the other day I just looked at him. I was like, I know. I said, I am sure that feels like shit. I can't even imagine how bad you must feel right now. And on the inside, I'm just like, even my baby has thoughts. So that's it. All right, guys, if you are in the Queen's Club, we will be live in 30 minutes. If you're not in the Queen's Club, lose 25 pounds. You too can be in the Queen's Club. But you guys, your coaching is coming up in 30 minutes. So I'm going to let y'all go. Hope y'all enjoyed today. I think the coaching was good. As I'm sure Kathy will be excited when I say this. Man, I was on fire today. So y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all. Mm-hmm.